Groundhog Day for World Markets.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Renita Jablonski. Glad you're tuned in this Thursday morning as we continue our special coverage of the global financial crisis. The fallout can once again be seen in markets around the world. Sounds familiar, doesn't it? Japan's Nikkei did pare some losses, in part thanks to a report by the Wall Street Journal. The journal reports the Bush administration is thinking about a $40 billion plan to help prevent foreclosures. Still, every Asian market closed in the red today. This would be a good time to bring in Marketplace's Scott Tong. He's standing by in Shanghai. Hi, Scott. What is behind this?
Global recession. That's the fear that the markets are worrying about. A couple of weeks ago, we thought about the industrialized countries, and we knew they were going in the wrong direction. But we thought maybe we still have these emerging markets that the world can kind of rely on. It doesn't seem like we have those anymore. South Korea on this side of the world, which used to be the poster child of economic reform and growth, it's seeing its currency tanking. We know Pakistan has gone to the IMF for help, and Hungary is going through this currency crisis. So it doesn't seem like there's anywhere to hide in the world anymore. And the markets are reacting to that fear, even though some of the fundamentals of these economies don't necessarily look that bad.
Well, that's the thing, Scott. The emerging markets especially were not as exposed to the toxic assets.
Right.
Why are things moving so quickly then?
What has moved really quickly is the world of currency. It's turned upside down in a hurry. Before this crisis, the dollar and the yen were weak against most of the currencies in the world. Well, that has just flipped because investors have pulled out of these emerging economies. So that's hurt those countries. And it's hurt all the investors who bet on some of those countries. And so they're flocking to the safety of the dollar and the yen.
All right. Marketplace's Scott Tong in Shanghai. Thanks so much, Scott.
You're welcome.
The Nikkei closed down 2.5%. Hong Kong's main index closed 3.5% lower. European shares are down across the board right now, though a positive earnings report from Nestle is helping the mood there. The Dow fell 514 points yesterday, 5.75%. For the last 7 weeks, machinists at Boeing have been on strike. The walkout has wiped out nearly a month of aircraft production. Boeing reported a 38% drop in earnings yesterday. Now the company says some orders for its new 787 Dreamliner will probably be delayed. Today in Washington, negotiations continue under the watchful eye of a federal mediator. Marketplace's John Dimsdale reports.
Almost 27,000 factory workers have been living on $150 per week strike pay since the walkout began September 6th. Boeing's commercial aircraft factories have been shut down, and the company's hope for the future, the 787 Dreamliner, is already 16 months behind schedule. And that hurts, according to Standard & Poor's economist David Weiss.
Boeing had been gaining a lot of orders at the expense of Airbus because Airbus had had such long delivery lags on some of the planes. Now Boeing's delivery lags are going up. This puts Airbus back into the game.
Still, Boeing has $350 billion in new aircraft orders. And even though it's losing as much as $100 million a day, Boeing is likely to withstand union demands for more job security and less outsourcing, says industry analyst Richard Abulafia.
Given their strong financial position and the strength of their defense side, there are no doubts that the company can continue to ride this strike out for months to come.
Boeing is one of the country's biggest exporters, and the federal negotiator says a strike settlement is a high priority. In Washington, I'm John Dimsdale for Marketplace.
Goldman Sachs plans to cut about 10% of its staff. That's about 3,200 jobs. You may recall the New York bank recently converted to a bank holding company.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Bantam Books, publisher of The Snowball, Warren Buffett and the Business of Life, the biography of a man and his ideas by Alice Schroeder, and by Constant Contact, dedicated to helping small businesses and nonprofits build stronger customer relationships through email marketing. ConstantContact.com. Conversations from the Corner Office, Dialogues with Top CEOs, is supported by the Society for Human Resource Management. Online at shrm.org.
Next week, Barack Obama will air a half-hour primetime special on three of the four major television networks. His campaign has money to burn. John McCain, on the other hand, is strapped for cash. Marketplace's Steve Henn takes a look at McCain's options.
John McCain's cut back on TV spending in New Hampshire, Wisconsin, Colorado, Maine, and Minnesota. He's pulled the plug on Michigan.
You know, he's in essence in a shouting match with a man with a megaphone, so he can't win that contest.
Evan Tracy runs the Campaign Media Analysis Group and tracks ad buys for candidates. He says to counter, McCain needs the equivalent of a political brush fire.
He has to look for ways to amplify his message beyond advertising spending because it won't be competitive in these final 2 weeks with Obama probably outspending him at least 2-1 overall and probably 4-5 and 6-1 in some of these battleground media markets.
Obama's campaign has used his TV buying power to create new swing states out of those that were once safely red. Shanto Iyengar teaches political advertising at Stanford. He says that makes McCain's mission even harder.
They're going to have to invest scarce advertising dollars in states that in the past were typically taken for granted.
If McCain's forced to spend money in North Carolina or Indiana, he has to cut back in Florida or Ohio. While Senator Obama's running a 50-state campaign with national airtime, McCain is micro-targeting.
Calling for John McCain and the RNC.
Using robocalls.
You need to know that Barack Obama has worked closely with domestic terrorist Bill Ayers.
Tracy says these cheap robocalls can deliver extremely negative messages to receptive audiences without risking a backlash that a similar ad on TV might stir up.
At the end of the day, it'll be a negative message that cuts through for Senator McCain.
And if he's going to win,
he needs to be more negative. I mean, I know people probably cringe when they hear that.
But Tracy says McCain's best weeks in the campaign were months ago, when McCain spent his time attacking his opponent and the press.
He's the biggest celebrity in the world.
For creating a cult of personality out of a political campaign. In Washington, I'm Steve Henn for Marketplace.
Share your thoughts about the campaign and the economy at marketplace.org. In Los Angeles, I'm Renita Jablonski. Thanks for listening. Enjoy the day.
American Public Media.